a vote for me by no means is a vote for Pat Quinn. It's a vote for me. There's three things that can happen on election night that can be extraordinarily beneficial for the state of Illinois. The first thing is that we can win, and you'll finally have someone elected to office at the executive level of the state that's not bought and paid for. That's number one. Number two, we can get double digits, which is going to put momentum into future campaigns. Number three, that 5%. That 5% gets us ballot access, and we would have been able to start our campaigns at the same time that Mr. Rauner and Governor Quinn did. So we wouldn't have been stunted as far as campaign financing and things like that.
Can you talk about the Libertarian Party strategy for getting more support among voters? Because I know it, along with other third parties, have struggled in Illinois to really gain some footing.
But the reason we struggle is because we're blocked from the ballot. The Republicans and the Democrats, they run a primary, and in this example, March of this year, they had their candidates, the primaries were over with, and now they could begin campaigning. Whereas myself, the week of June 23rd, after we turned in our petitions for our petition drive, required five times more. We turned in almost 10 times more than what is required for a Republican or Democrat to be on the ballot. They took us to court in Springfield. They took us to court then in Chicago at the State Board of Elections. And then we returned back to Springfield for more battles. So it was almost September, really, before we were able to get the momentum behind this campaign. So that's extremely hard when you're trying to fundraise during a time when people are concerned that you might be stricken from the ballot and you might not be a choice. And they know that, which is why they tie it up for so long.
Well, given that these difficulties exist, what is the Libertarian Party's strategy for overcoming them?
Is to gain established party status, which will come if I get more than 5% of the vote from the governor's office all the way down, as well as the presidential in 2016.
What do you think the Libertarians can do to make the most of that breakthrough if you get it in this election?
Well, really, it's going to come with where the state of the state is 4 years from now. If the state of the state in 4 years from now is similar to the current environment, I think libertarian ideology is resonated. I think people are starting to figure out when they trust their entire lives to politicians that are bought and paid for by special interest groups, that their livelihood gets worse and worse, their paycheck shrinks and shrinks, and they have less buying power. They're starting to realize that big government is really not the answer, and especially in Illinois, we're starting to see that it really doesn't matter who's in office, Republican or Democrat, we're getting those same old results. And I believe that our message is strong, and I think if we had just a little bit of more time to campaign, as if we had ballot access, we would have had, and we could have competed on the same time frame as the other two candidates, that we would have that support. And that's something that, again, the state of the state and the political environment in 4 years is going to dictate.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the state of the state. From what I can see, the big issue that voters care about most in Illinois are the state economy and the budget. If you're governor of Illinois in 2015, what do you do to make progress in those areas?
I've listed a couple of things, and one of them is you need to look at the pension program. Our debt as a whole is $271 billion. $131 billion, roughly, is on government employee pensions. I'm the only candidate that's put up a plan to phase the state off of that, which would be completely voluntary for the folks that are on it, but it would stop it for new employees coming into it. What I have set forward would be an opt-out plan where anybody that's receiving a government employee pension that is still working, they could receive a tax credit. Pretty much everything that they've paid into it will be returned to them in the form of a tax credit. And then they can decide to invest that in any private sector entity that they see fit to plan for their retirement. I would also like to see that they possibly offer some type of a 401k program, but I would not like to see that mandatory because not everybody wants to participate in that. And as state government goes, a lot of things happen to be mandatory, such as a state police officer, 12% of their paycheck is gone before they even see it. And that's not their choice. That's what they're signing on to when they take the job. And I would like to see options in that regard come up. Contract law, with that being said, is contract law. If you're receiving a pension, I'm not talking about taking away anybody's pension that's living on it. I don't think that's morally right, and I can't even believe it got to the Supreme Court that some legislators were actually suggesting that. So that has to be respected, and it's something that can be taken care of over time, but it's a step in the right direction, and it's a step to eliminating a program that accounts for almost half of our debt. Other situations, the economy. You know, we have something called the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. That's a $1.7 billion industry right there. And basically what that department does is it picks winners and losers in business. And I would like to see that gutted. I don't think in a free market that's something that we should be looking toward. I think the free market needs to dictate where business should go, and the free market needs to dictate where a business should be located. So that's $1.7 billion right there. Also, I think anybody should be able to support, if you ran a corporation, that you could cut 10% across the board. If you cut 10% across the board, I've seen estimates anywhere between $500 and $750 million that would save the state as well.
So you would cut state spending 10% across the board in all agencies?
In all agencies, with the exception of the Department of Education. And the reason I say that is because the Department of Education, there is a problem right now, and it was a program that went into effect about 10 years ago, and the spirit was genuine. What they wanted to do is they wanted to take some funds coming from other communities and use them to make up funds that were lacked for education in some of the more poor or urban communities. Well, what has happened is through bureaucratic red tape, all of those funds have been channeled into, or not all of them, but a lot of them have been channeled into the collar counties of Chicago. And if anybody knows the collar counties of Chicago, they're not hurting for money. So legislators in the past 10 years have used it to bring more money to their districts and so on and so forth. So the money needs to make sure that it's going to the right spot. And I have been on record for saying that I am in full support of complete privatization of the education system, because when you have choice and when you have profit, you have a tendency to have better results. But I'm a realist. I'm not going to win the governor's office and then have a magic wand on day one that I can wave and make that a reality. The problems have to be drawn back slowly so that there's not an extreme shock to the economy.